Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wow, already third hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go on a cold, and Nick, brace yourself.
It's not cold, it's 75 out.
It feels good now.
Why are you wearing a puffer jacket vest? It ain't even cold, I just
First
noticed
of all,
that.
It's not a puffer, it's just the fact that I haven't worked out since I injured my
You're
leg.
You're just fat. Yeah. It's not a puffy jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a puffy jacket.
It's not the vest, it's me.
I'm just fat.
Hopefully,
I'm puffy.
The doctor clears me today to be able to start my elderly rehab process of being able to sweat for the first time in a month.
Well, you don't look any fatter than normal.
Thanks. I resemble that remark, and I guess
I don't
even
know if that was a compliment or not.
But what I was going to say is, and Lisa, I was taking Taylor's school swarm, and she goes, "Hey, make sure you take a Taylor's puffy jacket." I go, "Why?"
Yeah, 75.
She goes, "Because the cold front's coming. I saw the weather on 2 different stations, and it's going to be in the 30s tonight."
Well, yeah,
plus,
tonight.
Puffy jackets are in.
That's true,
them.
Too.
She wants her looking like she's in style.
I know you don't like the cold, but you got to be excited now. You can wear your Uggs.
Yeah, my Uggs. I can wear my puffy jackets.
Look at you, your little scarves.
You're going to wear your
I don't wear scarves.
Your beanie?
You don't wear scarves?
I don't wear scarves.
You wear a
I don't
beanie?
Say it like that either.
What about an ascot? You can wear an ascot and a beanie?
Nope.
No?
I will rock a beanie now.
Yeah. I would too, but my head doesn't is not conducive to a beanie.
Speaking of this, so Friday I had my gig in at the No Label Brewery in Katy.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy had messaged me and was like, "Hey, so it's a brewery, so there's no AC and no heat. So just dress kind of warm because it's going to be a little chilly out." And I've never been to No Label Brewery. So I was like, all right. So I wore a sweatshirt. And normally I don't wear a sweatshirt on stage. I would wear a button up. But I was like, yeah, if it's going to be chilly, I'll just wear a long sleeve and then the sweatshirt over it. Well, it's called No Label Brewery, but I even made the comment on stage. I was like, yeah, they didn't tell me that there was no walls and no roof and no heat. And there was a lot more than just not having labels at the brewery that was a problem.
So we joke, but you were outside?
It might as well have been outside. Okay, it was like doing comedy in a barn, and it's a brewery though. If you've ever done a brewery, you know that that's kind of what it's like. So I was kind of expecting that, but that wasn't even the crazy part because they were great there. The beer was amazing. The crazy part is that it was still like families at this brewery. So I'm waiting to go on. There was like 4 or 5 comics ahead of me, and everybody's doing great. Great show, great crowds. By the way, it was packed. Great crowd, and this is all true. I actually told these stories on stage because it just happened, and I was flabbergasted. I'm standing outside in the parking lot going over my set list, and these two kids come up to me, and they were like, "Hey, mister, do you want to buy a rock?" I was like, "Don't want to buy a rock?" He goes, "Yeah, you want to buy a rock?" I was like, "Not really. What does it look like?" And this dude bends down and just picks up some random-ass rock and goes, "It looks like this." I was like, "Kid, if I wanted that rock, I would have just picked it up. Why would I buy that rock from you? What is going on right now?"
That is weird.
So these two kids, they were like, "Okay," and then they just take off running. I was like, "Boy, they are going to get somebody to pay."
They're going to be some thugs when they grow up.
So then I'm down on the far end by myself, right? Just clearing my mind, get ready. This is big time, right? This is a big show. This is make or break. Whole career right here. Mom spaghetti, all that. And these two little girls come up to me. And this little girl has a cup. And she goes, "Hey, mister, do you want to buy some Gatorade?" And I was like, "What?" And I looked in the cup and I was like, she peed in that cup. I guarantee you, we are at a beer brewery. There is no Gatorade. There's beer and water. That's it. There's no Gatorade. She peed in this cup. And she was like, "Hey, mister, do you want to buy some Gatorade?" And now I'm like, okay, can I just not be hassled to buy stuff in the parking lot by these kids. I'm trying to just get ready, right? So I wasn't mean, but I was like, no, sweetie, I don't want to buy any Gatorade. Like, you know, I was kind of short, but I wasn't mean. Like, just leave me alone.
That's fine.
And she goes, all right. And she kind of got an attitude, and she turned around to walk off. Then she stops, and she turns back. She goes, well, do you at least have a dollar for the Gatorade?
Ooh.
I was like, no, I don't have a dollar for your Gatorade. She goes, well, do you have any cents? And I was like, yeah, that's why I'm not buying your Gatorade, because you probably peed in that cup. Now get out of here. She was like, she looked at me like, to cry. No, but she looked at me like, why are you,
you being so mean?
I was like, bro, what is going on right now? It was wild. There were dogs. There were babies crying.
When did Katie become the beggars and rummage-a-rama city of the nation?
It was pretty wild. I'm not going to lie. But then the show was outstanding. Everybody in there, we had a great time. And somebody texted the show. The Mad Llama just say, hey, man, just enjoyed the show. It was really funny. So, yeah, it was great. Next time, I just walls and heat would be awesome.
Did anybody – you know what? I figured it out. They paid so much for that high school football stadium that they are now caught.
They can't do it.
They're just forced to beg for everything else.
But I met a listener named Bryce who came out. That was awesome. Titan Hugo came out with his lovely wife. It was great to see them again. Nice. My buddies came out. Lance and his wife and
Zerline?
Mincho. No, not Zerline. Mincho had a lot of friends and listeners come out to the show on Friday. So it was a lot of fun. Good. Yeah, it was cool. I appreciate everybody that did come out.
Excellent.
What, you have something?
I do. And I said, I was going to put it, mention this at some point. I'm walking down the hall today. You mentioned Lance.
Okay.
And he is not in, he's in his office, but he's not at the desk scouring video. He's sitting Indian style on the floor. He's got what looks like the starting pedals to a stair stepper. And he's got a whole bunch of directions and things spread out. And I go, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm trying to figure. Why do I have to plug this thing in when it looks like I should be able to do it without plugging it in? I was like, well, it, what you basically look like, is, I said, you pay for this? And he goes, yeah. I go, so you paid for a stair stepper, but you didn't get like handlebars or guardrails or all like the extra around it? He goes, no. I go, he goes, well, I ordered one of those too for the office, but it's not here yet. I go, well, then what's this? He goes, oh, this is foot exercise. I'm sorry, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, between now and the draft, I'm going to be in this office so much that in order to get my heart rate up, this fits under my desk. And while I'm sitting on in my desk chair scouring video, if I just keep my feet moving up and down with the pedals, it'll get my heart rate up. I'm like, you bought basically a stair stepper for your feet under your desk, and that's going to get your heart rate up? He goes, yeah. Okay. What the hell? I said, why don't you go to the mall like you have been? And he goes, I can't. I don't have time. I got to scare out
get
do
a
the
treadmill,
video.
Bro.
So he's going to sit there like we are right now. But because he's going to have his feet going like you're working the pedals of your car, he figures he's getting that heart rate up.
You know, maybe it does, because there's a machine at the gym that you sit on, and it's like a reverse bicycle. You don't use your legs. You just use your arms.
Yeah.
And it's you just it's like cranking, I don't know what it would be like, but you basically it's like riding a bike
with your arms.
Yeah, it's like you're using the pedals on a stationary bike, but with your arms and your hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
That thing will wear you out within like 2 to 3 minutes if you try to do it full speed. Because I was like, what is this raggedy ass machine? This ain't helping nobody. Give me this. And I was like, man, I thought I was getting dizzy.
Oh, yeah.
Everything started going black. I was seeing stars. And I was like, oh my God, this is awful. That's a serious workout. So maybe. That's the same thing. Maybe he might. We better watch him. Maybe he'll pass out from foot pedal action.
Let me just tell you this: he's going to get on Dances with the Stars or something before he's going to get any kind of cardio workout based on what the hell he just put under his desk. And he couldn't even figure out why the plug was necessary. So
it's just a foot. Is it the like Rex Ryan 1000? What is it?
Yeah, it's a good point. No, so it's got the you know, the pedals that go up and down like if you're on a stair stepper. In the middle, there's a tension control knob. And then he couldn't figure out where the plug gets attached and what the electricity for, because there's no digital readout. There's nothing that says you've gone this far and logged this many stairs or miles, but it goes under the desk like you would put your heater. But you're just gonna move your feet back and forth.
That's crazy.
Up and down.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out.
Somebody texted and said, "When's the Christmas party? Has that been released yet?" No, I do know. Last time we had Mark Klein on from Klein's Fine Jewelry.
Yeah.
He mentioned it. So it is on the horizon, and obviously it's going down. We just don't have all the particulars yet.
That's the next big eventful shindig on the calendar, because we all know between the listener appreciation party,
it's the world famous,
and the Christmas
Klein's party. Christmas party.
Yeah, it gets pretty.
It was
gets to be a pretty
last
big deal.
Year was my first time.
Yeah, you weren't here the first, and Nick was. Nick filled in,
and we were at Nick's place, mm-hmm. but we were also at Klein's, and that was the first time I had ever been to Klein's for the Christmas party. In the parking lot,
where
they chug the what is it, eggnog and or milk, and the they're playing football
in the parking lot competitions.
It's it is an absolute blast. So I'm just going to tell you guys now: if you have the opportunity to go,
yeah,
lots of
fun. Then come see us at Nick's place or wherever we're going to be.
Yeah, because, then meet us at Nick's place,
and then the party stay continues until like the wee hours. I mean, it doesn't end when we get off the air. Everybody hangs around.
I'll hit up Courtney and find out. I bet she knows. I bet it's already. Look, there's no way they haven't started planning it already.
What
if they're
do
not
we want
almost
this
done.
Year? We got a lot accomplished while people were drunk last year at the holiday party. We got shirts out of the deal.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
We got to figure out what do we want this year. Well, that would help. Contract. That would be steps in the right direction. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Still got plenty of things on the agenda, but always love hearing from you guys, the suspects. You got something you want to talk about? 713-780-3776, HRP Listen Line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter. We haven't even talked about NFL yet, but we have time. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show on a Monday. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I saw the boss gave you
cookies.
Goodies. In the
cookies.
Hallway.
I don't. I love David Gow.
Why did he give you cookies?
Because he loves
you. Shut him up.
Because he loves me, and he doesn't like
you. Don't
you
need to get any bigger.
Actually, let me give you my theory on what happened. Kiss my ass. Here's what I think happened. Is I think that Gow passed somebody in the hallway, and they went, "Oh, Mr. Gow, have some cookies." And he probably had them and went, "Barry's fat. He'll eat these cookies," and just handed me cookies.
I think that's a. Plausible.
You think so?
I think that's fact. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, because he's probably like, he probably appreciated the cookies, but he has self-control. And then he looks at a guy like me and says, he doesn't have self-control. He'll eat these cookies.
You think so?
It's possible.
Agreed.
I think more so than anything else, he was passing by up front. Someone decided, hey, there's Mr. They knew who he was and said, hey, Mr. Gow, I brought in some cookies. Yeah, and basically he accepted them and acted like they're the greatest thing in the world, and then you were the first one to pass him.
So basically what I just said.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, basically. Almost exactly.
I was trying to avoid the whole Barry will eat anything and he has no self-control and everything else and just say, essentially, he opened the door to go down the studio
and
hallway
the
and you were the first
person.
One he saw.
I was the first fat person he passed.
Cody was on the air, so he,
oh.
So he gave him the review.
Why you like that? Why are you how you are? can we talk about the play calls at the end of the Cowboys game?
Well, there's a lot of Cowboy fans that want to.
Terrible, or am I just being one of those Cowboys fans?
I mean, look, the last time Jason Garrett was in a situation like that, he didn't even think about giving the ball to Zeke, so he made up for it at the worst possible time, the worst possible way, and it cost him. And I think that's why it's going to cost him his job at the end of the year.
You think he's gone?
I think he's definitely gone. I think unless they make some miraculous run to the NFC Championship game, and even still, the only thing that I think really saves his ass is the fact that he plays the game and allows his owner / general manager to do whatever the hell he wants and never pushes back or says no, fights it, or wants to run his team his way. So Jerry Jones loves him. But I just think it's the end of the road.
I think more than anything, if you're looking to blame anybody, probably blame the defense. I don't think they looked good. Blame. I mean, you can't give up 28 to Minnesota.
Yeah, and they've been pretty good. Obviously, their linebacker
at home.
Their front seven is fantastic. I don't know what happened there, especially when they added Michael Bennett and Lawrence was all over the field. And you know, you've got these, you know, Smith and Van Der Esch. These guys can play. I think their secondary can get exposed.
Yeah.
And I think a Minnesota team that, when we talk about hot teams, they won five of their last six, and they've done it ever since Kirk Cousins got bashed by his own players by slinging it around the yard. And dare I say, look, and I know he played in the snow yesterday, McCaffrey did, but I don't think, in my mind, there's any doubt that Dalvin Cook's the best running back in the NFL.
Ooh.
Right now, I think Dalvin Cook is the best running back in the NFL. And I know McCaffrey's right there with him.
There's only one running back that's being mentioned in the MVP race right now.
I get it. It's
ain't
McCaffrey,
Dalvin Cook.
But to me...
But you're not taking... Are you just talking pure running back?
Yeah, just as a pure running back. Yeah, between the tackles, every single down, running the football. I still think McCaffrey, because he gets a lot, and he deserves it. He catches the balls out of the backfield and does a lot more in the passing game and gets more total yards and more total yardage than a Dalvin Cook. But just pure tailback, between the tackles, pounding it out, grinding, doing all the things. Every week I watch him, I think Dalvin Cook impresses me more. Mm. And he's coming off an ACL. But it's fine to go back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, you got McCaffrey on your fantasy team. Well, guess who I got? Dalvin Cook.
Well, I wanted to see how far apart they were in yardage. Ooh, you might be right.
Okay. I think the other thing is last night, if you were going to look at the two teams and say, who runs the football better, a lot of people at the would have said, well, Zeke will.
Well,
guess what? Zeke had, what, 49 yards?
Yeah, Zeke's not even in the top five. Chubb is third. Yeah, you know, you're right, though, because Dalvin Cook, 991 yards rushing. Christian McCaffrey, 989. So those 2 yards.
But I'm just saying, they're the two guys that you can say easily
no doubt
separate themselves.
But I think that, to me, it's – I want to see, like, what – the thing is, you're right. You say between the tackles. And I feel like that's the case, but haven't we always said that about McCaffrey? He's not big enough. He can't – and he seems to do it.
And I watched him
no
every
what
play yesterday. And there's no doubt he's elusive. He's athletic. He's stronger than people give him credit for. The last play of the game, kind of indicative to me of, but when you need that last yard, he's obviously he's a hell of an athlete, but he's not that driving tailback that can just grit out that extra yard. He took his offensive line, essentially his lineman picked him up and tried to, like, body slam him over the goal line, and it didn't work. Dalvin Cook, to me, is a guy that finishes that play.
Yeah, that's a good point, but I still feel like we sleep on Christian McCaffrey as a tough runner.
I agree with you.
But you look at him and you don't think tough runner, but I think he is. And I was going to try to make the argument that it might be just the difference is that Christian McCaffrey is better out of the backfield catching the ball, but I don't think I can make that argument. Dalvin Cook is good at catching the ball out of the backfield.
He doesn't have hands of stone. I don't think he's Alvin Kamara, but I believe that he obviously gets the job done there too. But look.
Who do you think has more yards out of the backfield catching the ball?
I would think it's McCaffrey.
It is not.
Really?
Yeah, and that's why I was saying, because I know Cook is good at it. I wouldn't say he's the best in the NFL at it, but I know he's good at it. But he's got 40 catches on 48 targets for 424 yards. That's 10.6 yards a catch.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey, 48 catches on 59 targets, 396 yards, 8.3 yards per catch average. Pretty crazy. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I think the bigger point to be made because of all the stats you just gave me, too, is I don't think Cook gets enough credit for being a guy that could possibly be a sleeper and MVP candidate talk because of the fact that his numbers are comparable to McCaffrey. I don't think either guy's going to win the MVP, but I don't think Cook's gotten as much credit as McCaffrey.
You're right.
But I think that both guys are pretty parallel when you look at all their stats.
Yeah, I'm looking at that because that surprised me. I knew Cook had, you know, as far as rushing goes, that he was up there. But I would have not had guessed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed on the passing.
That it was that high. That it was, you know, I would have thought McCaffrey by far would have had more yards out of the backfield catching the ball. But that's just
the other thing too that I watched. And first of all, I didn't realize that Kyle Allen grew up a Packer fan and his dad was there in the front row. And his dad was a Packer fan that obviously was cheering for his son yesterday. But just to take a look at the journey of Kyle Allen and say, top-rated quarterback out of Arizona, And the fact that he couldn't get it done at A&M, he couldn't get it done at Houston, he had a year of eligibility to go anywhere else and decided, no, I'm good enough to go pro, and everybody went, you're an idiot. Then he somehow made a roster and everybody went, huh? Then when Cam Newton gets hurt, they're like, we're going with Kyle Allen. Like, huh? Yeah. And now you're looking at him, and all through the game,
Cam,
they couldn't stop talking about the fact that they will cut. They think they're going to cut Cam Newton, save $19 million, and this kid has shown enough. We were talking about Minshew the other Gardner Minshew the other day, but they said Kyle Allen has done enough, shown enough that they think he's their quarterback of the near future.
It's pretty crazy.
It really is.
That, I mean, it surprises me for all of the reasons that you listed.
And then who's wrong? A&M, Houston, or yeah. Kyle Allen at the time? I don't know.
Everybody. And there was another stat I saw, because, yes, believe it or not, I show prep. But I saw Kyler Murray, 177 passes in a row without throwing an interception. Pretty crazy when you think Kyler Murray.
No, you mean Kyle Allen.
No,
right?
Kyler Murray.
Oh, Kyler Murray.
107, another quarterback that I think has been slept on and yeah. You know, bounced around a little bit, went from A&M, went to OU, obviously won the Heisman, but hadn't had it what seems like a great year. But he went 177 passes in a row without throwing an interception this year, the longest since like 2009 for a rookie. Ben Roethlisberger, or no, maybe the longest since 2009, period.
I think it was
Big Ben was the last one to go 177.
And of all the things
pretty
that
crazy.
He's done, too, with Arizona.
Yeah.
But I will say the one thing that's a travesty is that Larry Fitzgerald is not going to get another chance to try and win one. Because dude made a catch yesterday where he was running.
Boy.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but he was running to the sideline. He got his one hand on it just to tip it up in the air. Then had the body control to shed the defender, keep his feet in bounds, and he brought it in. And you're like, at the trade deadline... This could have been the Akeem to Toronto moment, but put that guy in a position where at the end of his career, he'd have one more chance at a bowl.
Bro, I'm with you.
Guys, good.
And you want guys like him who, off the field, just
exemplify
human
how to
beings.
Be an NFL player yeah. or a human being. You're right.
You want guys like that to succeed and get a ring. And I'm not for everybody, you know, but guys like that you root for. And we got tagged on this guy. And sure enough, Minkah Fitzpatrick also. Ever since he went to Pittsburgh,
dude, he's been unreal.
He has 4 interceptions in the last 3 games. Got another one against the Rams. Just balling out of control.
Yeah, our girl, ATX Hobel Girl, was sending it to us because she's a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, the other thing that's the only thing that could save them when I said if they were looking for a quarterback of the future, they should have just kept that first round pick. Now they're in the playoff discussion. They probably wouldn't have gotten the quarterback of the future. And they got a guy that saved their bacon in the process. Yeah. Kudos to the Steelers on that.
Yeah.
All that talk, MVP talk, and guess who we haven't talked about yet? A guy who is climbing the charts and trying to solidify MVP talk. That is in Baltimore, and that we should talk about next.
Word.
Because Mr. Jackson, if you're nasty, has been playing his tail off, too. Final half hour of the show coming up. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Get Upside. Oh, I love me some Get Upside because I love me some money. And if you love money and you want to hang on to your money, then you need to go download Get Upside right now. Put it on your phone. It's in your app store, whether it's iTunes, Google Play. Search Get Upside, all one word. And you can have it installed by the time I'm done telling you about it. It's that simple. It's that easy. I installed it while I was sitting at a gas pump waiting to fill up. Thought, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. I've heard about it. Let's see if it's real. It's real. It's legit. ABC 13 talked about it. You hear me talking about it. And I got to say, shout out to all the listeners that have hopped on board and are getting back to me telling me, man, thank you so much for telling me about Get Upside. And I am literally getting reached out to every day with different screenshots of the amounts of money or you guys that are just thanking me for putting money back in your pocket. And I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you about it. But the good folks at Get Upside are the ones saving you all this money. If you don't know what it does, it's real simple. Get Upside gets you cash back for the stuff you're already paying for, like gas and like food. It's so easy to use. There's a map. You find a deal. You claim it. You upload a receipt. Boom. You get the cash back in your account within 24 hours. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back when you fill up, and up to 35% cash back every time you eat out. Guys, do yourself a favor right now. Hang on to your money. The holidays are around the corner. You might have a little extra to spend on the kiddos or the wife. Go do yourself a favor. Download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Shopping.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Final half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday fun day in the big city. We appreciate you guys. Yes, the temperature is dropping, but hopefully we keep it hot and popping on the Usual Suspects. We had Mario Elion for the first hour and some, which you guys seem to have enjoyed.
If you missed it, go to Podcast Arena.
Without question. We were talking about all the different things in the NFL and the MVP race, and we were throwing about the best running backs. Lamar Jackson is ridiculous. And you had brought up Kyler Murray, and I said, look, I love when Kyler Murray tucks it and runs because – he is faster than just about anybody except Lamar Jackson. And boy, and when he can scoot when he gets going. But the more you watch Lamar Jackson and you think about all the ass clowns and personnel departments in the NFL that said, you shouldn't even throw at the combine. You should just start working out as a wide receiver. Mm. I wish you could put a name with that and a team with that. Because what this guy is
doing. Well, we'd all probably be. I mean, no, not that we were saying he should have been a wide receiver, but doubting his abilities
sure, there
to
were
be more
that,
than a one-dimensional. Let's be real.
Just like Mario Elie telling you that he was with Danny Dimes the whole time the Giants drafted him. Stop with that nonsense, but you're happy how it turned out.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't recall hearing anyone say, oh, no, you got to go get Lamar Jackson for his arm.
I think Lance had said, look, he has the skill set. That, but you know, that could be a quarterback in the NFL, but not to say that, you know, would he be a starter? Would he be this good? But when you look at the spin move he did yesterday, and you look at some of the things that he just freestyles just right off the cuff, and then you look at the fact that he can still make the throws, including the deep ball, that they've set up an offense perfectly for him and the system. And then when you look at the Heisman package yesterday, and you realize that they ran a full backfield yesterday with three Heisman Trophy winners, in which he obviously played quarterback. Mark Ingram, who won it at Alabama, to his left. RG3 to his right. And they ran the option. And you look at that and go, now, you may say, well, that's taking football back a step because of the way they're running the offense. You try and stop that. It's if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan and you know that your defense is still going to be what it normally always is, which is really good, and then you look at an offense that plays like that, man. And the good thing for football fans is, as much as we said, look, all the hype's going to be when Deshaun plays against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Now you've got Deshaun and the Texans playing against Jackson and the Ravens. Everyone's all over this matchup this week.
I can't wait for
it. I'm so pumped about it. Just like
it.
The Alabama LSU game. So I hope it lives up to billing, but I'm glad they're playing this week.
I went back and looked at Zuerlein. I Googled it when you brought it up.
Yep, that'd be interesting.
I Googled Lance Zuerlein, Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready for this?
I am very interested to hear it.
All right. His top five players at QB in that draft was Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
So he had him fourth and he had him above Josh Allen.
He said on Lamar Jackson, Jackson is the ultimate playmaker in this draft. He has the ability to beat teams with his legs or his arm, but he has the tendency to miss on simple throws and hasn't proven he can slide to avoid hits outside the pocket. So basically what he told you is big arm. He can run. It's not really accurate. Needs to learn how to get down if he's going to last in the NFL. And damn, if that's not pretty much exactly what Lamar Jackson is, although I think he's probably proven to be more accurate. Because you don't go out and get a perfect passer rating if you're, you know, wildly inaccurate and missing on a lot of throws. But I'm sure Lamar Jackson knew that as well. If Lance Zuerlein scouted that, everyone in his camp knew and the Ravens knew that that was going to be an issue. So they probably worked on his accuracy. And they probably worked on his, you know, getting him to be more accurate in the pocket and doing the things he does. And it paid off. So
no doubt about it.
Good for Lance because he said, and also, most overrated in that draft, according to Lance, was Mason Rudolph. Mm. Most underrated was Lamar Jackson.
Hmm.
So Now, Boomer Bust, Josh Rosen, Sleeper Alert, Nick Szymanek from Texas Tech.
So he drilled all of it because even though Rosen was in his top four, he gave him the chance to be the biggest. Look, that's why I said, because not just because we're partial, because we know him, we know how hard he works at it. He doesn't always get all the credit of the Mel Kiper Juniors and the Todd McShays, but you just want to go pound for pound, review by review of every guy that he's ever laid pen to paper on and fingers to keyboard. And I'll take Lance just about over anybody in terms of the draft previews and the player-by-player analysis.
Yeah, and he's got a whole long thing, and he draws the comparisons to Mike Vick as far as a playmaker and how Vick went number one overall, and he's got the word elite in there. And I mean, look, it's funny because we talked about there probably wasn't a lot of people to say it. LZ was on it.
And that's fantastic.
So there's one.
Yeah, that's great because he's one of us. So we always appreciate that. But look,
you want to hear what he said about Sam Darnold?
Okay.
Darnold has the size, arm talent, and poise to become a very good starter in the league, but he has to do a better job of taking care of the football. And then for Baker Mayfield, who was third on his list, Mayfield dominated the competition with his deep ball accuracy and decision-making, but he needs to prove he's not a product of the air raid system and that he can sail against tight man coverage. And he is struggling, so.
No doubt.
Good stuff.
So that's just another reason to solidify why Lance should be your go-to guy when you're looking at draft prospects and where they might land and what they might be able to do in the NFL.
LZ's the man.
With that being said, and the fact that the Texans are playing the Ravens this week, so that's going to be a big one we'll continue to talk about all week. I would assume Sarah Barshop's going to try and join us again on Friday as we get closer to that game, right?
I hope so.
So let's hope that we can get her in as well so we can talk some football as that game comes up. But obviously there were games this weekend. You guys want to talk about a lot of things we already kind of got through on the show. So Eric's been holding the longest. He wants to talk about load management. Eric, what's up?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Just getting off work, and I was listening to you guys earlier, and I had to call in and put in my two cents. It's just disappointing that commentators and everyone, you give LeBron a pass for taking games off, but dump all over players like Kawhi and whoever else if they're not LeBron. And I just want to say it's really disappointing. I mean, LeBron started that all that, and as far as I'm concerned, it's not the coaching who have LeBron take back games off. It's LeBron. So, I think that it's really disappointing that Mario said that he gives LeBron a pass.
He gave Harden a pass, too. He gave Harden a pass, too. And if you look at it, go back and look at the games played. And until LeBron had a seriously debilitating injury with his groin last year, you look at the guys that want to play in every game, big game, and otherwise, regardless of how many games and how many days they've played, those guys have been the guys that have wanted to step up and play.
LeBron played in 82 games in 2017, 2018. Last year, he was injured.
Right.
That's why, if you hear, I mean, you got to remember, too, now, LeBron is what, almost 35 years old?
He's the 17th year in the league.
Okay. So if you got a guy that's a 17-year vet, the best player on the planet, hands down, one of the greatest of all time, he's 17 years in, he's coming off of an injury where he missed half the season. If he wants to take a game off here or there, that's why Mario Elie is telling you that it's okay. You know,
I think the other point that I tried to make it last week too is what it says to you more than anything else is you question the heart.
That's what it is.
Of anything else, because if you're Kawhi, I want to play against the Greek freak. I don't care if I've played four games in five nights. Well, and I want to prove I'm the best.
And Eric, remember, Mario also defended Kawhi and said, look, he's got a nagging injury, and that's why they're giving him time off. It's a nerve issue, and that's why he's taking time off. It's not just because he doesn't want to be in the game. He's got an actual injury / nerve issue that he's taking care of. And I think the same thing is true when he said about Harden. You know guys that want a ball. And you know guys that have the heart that that don't want to just take a game off. But there are guys that do, that are just like, yeah, I love the money. I'm just not passionate about basketball anymore. There's where I think Mario would draw the line and say, yeah, those guys, no.
Yeah, and we've talked about that kind of stuff, too. And when you look at it, too, you're right. I mean, it's just a matter of, do you have the desire to want to live up to every penny that you're being paid? Or are you just saying, look, you know, for whatever reason, it's a job. I play when I'm supposed to play, when the lights are the brightest in the playoff game.
We were talking about LZ and his penchant for drafting.
Yeah.
Joseph Hutchinson tweeted to us and said, man, Barry, Joel, if only there was an NFL team that could use help grading talent. Tag the Texans. Hashtag LZ for GM.
Especially after what's old boy with the Raiders got the job.
Mike Mayock.
Mayock got the job. And we were kiddingly saying Lance should be the next GM of the Texans.
Absolutely should.
He could be. He could do worse.
Hashtag LZ for GM. Do you want to take this call real quick, Nicholas, or do you want to wait? Do we have time? Ah, you'll go. All right, Clarence wants to talk Saints Falcons.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. We probably should have taken this after the break because there's going to be a lot of bitching and moaning here. What's up, Clarence?
What up, guys? How y'all doing?
How's it going, man? Bud?
All right. First off, can everyone just appreciate all the young quarterbacks that we have now that are going off and lightening up everything and just having the league very exciting for now and for years to come?
Amen.
Yep.
Preach.
Now, for the Saints and Falcons, I'm not worried. It's a division game. It happens. It happened before. It's probably going to happen again in the future. Yeah, the Falcons are winning selfish. But the talent that they have on that team says otherwise. And, hell, when the Falcons were undefeated in Week 10 in 2012, the Saints went in there and beat them, even though they were having a down year. And our Super Bowl run in 2009, the Falcons almost beat the Saints to strike out their undefeated record. So it happens. It is a division game. They had a down week. They came out flat after the bye week. It happens. So, for all the people who are getting on the scene and who are happy they lost, look at your team and calm down.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
NFL Network breakdown of the Saints-Falcons game brought to you by WNOO. That's no. We don't need any more, but if
I'm
you missed
right
it,
now.
Saints in the upset of the weekend, Saints lost to the Falcons.
Upset, yes, for sure. I mean, when you figure that the records were flipped. Right?
Mm-hmm.
7-1 and a 1-7 team. The spread was 13.5. And I remember a guy that used to come on named Wooly B who would always say, he had this thing called the double digit division dog, and he would come on the Sunday show and talk about it. The spread was 13.5 for the Saints. And I actually took the Falcons and the points because he will tell you in a division, that's a division rival, man.
Yeah.
If you're I think to Clarence's point, he's right. The Falcons offensively do have a lot of talent. They just don't play like it.
And their defense. They made a change at defensive coordinator, and the guy calling the shots called a better game as well. And this is why when the Packers lost to the Chargers last week, too, and everybody says, look, in a long NFL season, there's always a week where you crap the bed.
Yeah.
You can crap the bed at any time.
Saints are fine.
There you go. All right, we've got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next, turn it over to the Blitz. They're going to take you all the way till 7 right here, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap things up. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Really appreciate you guys taking us along for the ride on this Monday in the big city. We kept it pretty hot and popping for a Monday, which is normally
hot
laden
poppin'.
With straight fire, laden with nothing but football talk. We were able to mix in a lot of other stuff, got a little bit the intimate conversation with Mario Elie on a variety of topics, which was great as well. But obviously the biggest part, too, is great participation from you guys. And we appreciate that all the time.
One thing we didn't get to was the divisional games. Dolphins doing the Texans a favor, Colts.
Yep.
Colts without Jacoby Brissett. Obviously, Brian Hoyer's makes that a completely different team. But how about Tennessee going out and handling their business?
Yeah.
Taking care of business.
And a hell of an ending to that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked
wild.
Like no matter what was going on, and Mahomes was just off the charts. But it just goes back to what everybody said all season long, which is their defense just doesn't look like it's anything other than Swiss cheese. And you kept looking at it, and I was watching on the NFL, on the Red Zone channel, and I kept watching it. They were split screen. I was like, oh, Mahomes is still going to win this game. He's going to find a way to win this game. He threw for over 400 yards, and then the field goal gets blocked, and Tennessee wins. And you're like, see, it's so razor thin, the difference between winning and losing in this league. And especially when you've let a couple slide with Mahomes being injured, you, one, realize that you've got to really make sure you take care of your business and don't let it get down to a point where either team could win at the end. And secondly, from a Kansas City perspective, man, as good as they are offensively, I don't know who they can stop, including New England, if it's going to come down to those two teams again in the AFC. And now Baltimore's got going to have something to say about it.
And Derrick Henry went
God, he's
off.
A beast. Yeah. Man. People don't realize that's an offensive lineman-sized guy without the gut and stuff. He just...
It's fast, too.
Yeah, and he'll just steamroll you.
Oh, yeah.
Mack truck you.
188 and two touchdowns. Is that any good? Averaged 8.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, he's... He's a load to bring down, and when you, like you said, when you factor in the speed as well and everything else.
Whew. And it's so funny because you look at Ryan Tannehill and you think, well, what is he? Well, he's about what he did. Missed on six passes, 13 of 19, 181 yards and two touchdowns. Didn't beat himself, didn't lose the game. In fact, you know, I mean, that last drive, he made plays, so... It's crazy that, you know, he didn't have a great game in the box score other than having the two touchdown passes. But he still, I mean, something completely different. And you just wonder at this point, is he going to be a guy that this team continues to go with just because he's out of Miami and able to – are they going to give him a chance? Or is this just a short-term thing for them as well?
He really good.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're Tennessee, do you look in the division and say, all right, you got to compete with Deshaun Watson – you know, what do you do? Jags obviously have Nick Foles. What Jacoby Brissett's proving to be a quality NFL quarterback. Yeah. Not great by any stretch of the imagination, but not a guy that, you know, I could see him doing some things in the playoffs because of the way that the rest of that team is playing. But is Ryan Tannehill a guy that you would put in the same category as these other guys? Obviously, Watson's the cream of the crop.
Sure.
And how crazy is that, by the way? When you look at how this division has flipped, you used to look at this division and go, uh-oh. You know, Jags maybe went out and got a guy that they drafted that they thought was going to be their future quarterback, and it didn't happen. Tennessee. But at the time, with Andrew Luck and those quarterbacks, you looked at the Texans, and they had the worst quarterback in the league, in the division every year.
Well, their tires were bald. They had so many retreads.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, though it did take some work and mortgaging the future in a couple of drafts,
they flipped
you
it,
finally
though.
Got the guy that you needed all along, and he's proven to be worth every single penny. I'll tell you this.
Of course, needed Luck to retire, but.
Yeah. But when you look at the whole league and you say, just like Bridgewater made a name for himself, was the highest paid backup, and someone's going to give him a shot, or New Orleans is going to continue to overpay to keep him. But you look at it, and I said, look, if Cam indeed gets cut by the Panthers to save $19 million, in part to pay McCaffrey and others, mm-hmm. Cam could end up with the Bears or a team that just needs one guy to get him over the top.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill is a cheaper version of a guy that if you just need a game manager.
He's an Alex Smith type.
And if he could do what he did, you know, obviously you can't do as much as he did yesterday, but don't turn it over and keep the team moving and you know their defense is that good. He's going to get paid somewhere next year.
You think? I don't think he gets a starting job.
Tennessee,
unless
might keep
they
him.
Keep him. In Tennessee.
Don't tell me Mariota's not gone.
Yeah. What is his contract?
He's up at the end of the year.
Oh, is he?
So I would believe of the two, you're going to keep Tannehill because he got you a win like that because he kept the ball moving. He didn't turn it over, and he's not susceptible to getting hurt because every year Mariota gets hurt.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, you're certainly not going to pay him. I mean, the only thing about bringing Mariota back is as a backup is he knows the system. That would be why you would, hey, look, you're not going to be our quarterback of the future. We tried it. It didn't work. But you know the system, and we'll.
Do you want to sign on at a team that drafted you to be their franchise quarterback to be the backup to Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, do you think you're going to get a shot anywhere else with all the young talent in this league?
You know how the league
works,
though.
You're going to be a backup somewhere else.
If there's someone that knows you from your college days,
true.
You have a relationship
change of pace,
with.
Look at, yeah.
Yeah, they might give you a plug-and-play opportunity for a year or two, and if you prove it, great, and if you don't, we move on.
Especially if Chip Kelly gets a head coaching job
Where's
somewhere.
Where's Bill O'Brien? When you talk about plug-and-play, give a guy another chance.
Right.
When you talk about all the guys that he's brought in that were retreads. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't know, but I think Tannehill played a hell of a game.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. He played a hell of a game. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I don't know
like
how that
it.
Factors in long-term, but.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it in the box score, but that's why sometimes you got to watch the game because there's a different beast on the field. Yep. And by the way, somebody texted the show and said, was there a college game of some importance this past weekend? Yeah, and we talked about it.
So right?
Thanks for the text.
You guys want to talk about this? I don't know how this affects you, Nick, especially in the dating world. But this news broke today. Facebook and Instagram will now ban users who post eggplant or peach emojis in a sexual manner.
I saw that.
Really? Yeah. I know forever, and we've talked about it on the show, that this fruit and vegetable combination has been used and associated with sexual connotation. Now, it will not only be removed from Facebook and Instagram if it contains a sexual emoji or is used in a sexual way, and you could be punished because of it.
I always get texts from Nick. He's like, man, I could use some eggplant. Or, boy, I love eating peaches.
I saw that. I mean, the thing is,
especially
for
peaches
me,
and cream.
Facebook is too family. You know, we've all talked about this, and I think we all agree. Facebook is a little bit more private for us, I think, than the other platforms. So I guess I can kind of see how it's okay on Facebook. Instagram, I don't get it. Like, if you're really worried about the Instagram platform being more or less sexual, how about banning 70% of your users?
True.
It's just, I mean.
Well, they're saying we're not taking action just simply on the emoji. We're taking action on the implicit or indirect ask for nude imagery, sex, sexual partners, sex chat conversations, etc.
So if you're like, hey, girl, send me a picture of your peach, but you use the peach emoji.
You're punished. You're banned.
Okay.
You get what you deserve,
gotcha.
Sir.
Gotcha.
I think they're trying to reduce the amount of reports that they're getting from, like, women reporting like creeps. And that's just probably one way.
So you can just be like, boy, I could go for some eggplant. But then you can't put, boy, I could go for some eggplant water emoji. Then that's sexual. Right?
I guess.
I don't know.
Speaking of sexual, Blitz comes up next. Aaron, Fred,
are they
AJ,
sexual? Is that
yeah,
what
they're
you,
not afraid to just
that
toe
what you
the
think
line.
About? Oh yeah,
so
for sure.
Maybe Fred will give us his insight. Speaking of fruits and vegetables, on Don Cherry, longtime hockey announcer that is no longer employed, based to more racy comments that had people talking on social media. But regardless, Fred, and AJ, and Aaron, they're coming up next with the Blitz. They'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN. 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.